everybody, and welcome to Thrallers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Real good, Alan. Back in the studio, back in the car, and I took a mental health day today, so I'm doing real good.
Excellent. Love to hear that. Less good day for me. I'm a plumber, and people are always like, oh, that's a dirty job and a hard job. Nah, not what I do, really. But today was one of those exceptions, so drilled a huge hole through a concrete wall, and that was a pain in the ass to do, and then spent many hours on a shovel, which is not my natural habitat. Do not like that at all. And yeah, messed up my hand. I actually got a blood blister on my hand. It was so annoying. Pretty frustrated with that. But anyway, we made it through, and we got to do the pod, so that's good. Missed out last night. You had some dad duties. What were you up to?
Yeah. So, the reason I've taken a mental health day today is the young man, Theo, has made it to a trip around the sun. 1 year old today.
Boom.
So, last night I was up late, Hamish style, baking a cake. My first ever cake. But, in the end, I was really, really happy with the end product, as janky as it looked. But it's only up from here. Like, his next birthday cake will be better. But, then took the day, obviously, today and went and hung out at the zoo with him. And now I'm sitting in the studio drinking a whiskey, talking shit about disc golf. So life's pretty good, man.
I love it. I thought the cake was great. Like, I instantly recognized it as Spot right away. And I thought it was dope that he had a Spot cake. I didn't even know kids were watching Spot or reading Spot still. So that's sick.
Yeah, Theo loves books, particularly fond of the flaps in the Spot book. So do with that as you will, internet. So it had to be a Spot themed cake.
Beautiful. I loved it. Cake was good. And happy birthday, Theo.
Happy birthday, Theo.
We got some lots of regos happening starting this week. But before we get to the ones that come out this week, we better get to the WGE. We've touched on it before, but regos are about to close. They've just extended it for us. So regos will close on, the 12th or the 5th, I'm pretty sure. So make sure you're getting in here now. I've got a pretty comprehensive message here from Janet that'll let you know everything you need to know. So where we got a good opportunity for the partners, mums, daughters, sisters to see what disc golf's all about and get addicted as well. There's free coaching for beginners before the first round in the morning, a custom-made players pack, not the PDGA one, so a nice Melbourne one. Lunch is included, lunchtime activities, two rounds of disc golf. It's going to be at Bicentennial Park, which would be great. The shop is going to be there too. An entry is a mere $30. So get involved, everyone who can. The WGE is going to be great.
Down at Bicentennial, is that correct?
Yes, at Bicentennial. Yeah. So it should be a lot of fun there, I think.
Yeah, brilliant. Get around it. I've done my dash in regards to trying to get partners and mates and some of my female friends into the game. I've tried my darndest. And I've had pockets of success, but the better half, the wife, is could not have less interest, unfortunately. But surely out there amongst our listener base, we can plug this and make that a successful event for Melbourne.
Yes, let's do. A bunch of other regos open up this week too. So the Queensland Open, I managed to find myself a spot on that. So I'm going to head over to Logan Home or Logan Village or whatever it is in Queensland over my birthday weekend. So that should be a good bit of fun. You heading up?
Nice. Nah, well, didn't even consider it. But I'm sure I'll suffer from serious FOMO all weekend. But no. I don't know if I'll go into state for disc golf again. Eruption's on my radar, but no, not looking to do Queensland Open. That's going to be sick. Do you know the track?
Nah, not at all. Says it's a private course, apparently, too. So a lot of cool opportunity on there, I think. But, yeah, no idea. But it's got to be good. It better be good.
Oh, it's Queensland. It'll be awesome. You're sorted with the SA boys. You're sorted with Gareth, our fucking main man, and getting a sick Airbnb. What's the deal?
There's no G train at that one as of now, so not sure. But I do have a nice Airbnb with my friend Camille,
yes.
Matty G, and my old man, and Jeremy Carruthers, who I'm not familiar with, but we're going to be best friends.
Wicked. I got no doubt about that. You're Alan.
So should be good fun. I'm keen. Nationals Rego is not open, but has finally set a date for registration. So I can't remember what that is, but end of the month.
It's teasing, isn't it? Yeah. And Rego will open soon. That is big.
I'm keen for that.
Do you see the going with the Tassie model?
Yes, I did see that. They're doing two weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how they're going to do it forever now, until they'll only do one weekend of just pros one day.
Yeah, for sure. So 26th of May, Molong. If you've got a helicopter, let me know. I might get tempted to come along. But outside of that, I'm going to find it tough to get to Molong.
I'll find a way. I've got a second place to defend, so it's got to get me out there. Plus,
exactly,
it's not in Perth, so when it's anywhere that's not in Perth, I'll go play. So I'll be there, but yeah, I'm not looking forward to getting there. It's going to be a pain in the ass for sure. Might have to get a flight on Bonza. What?
That's under, isn't it?
Yeah. And the Tintinara tee off or something like that, I can't remember what it's called, has open rego as well. So that should be a bit of fun. It might be a little bit too far of a drive for me now that there's so much disc golf to be played a little bit closer. But yeah, Tintinara is in about 6 hours away in Adelaide, or in South Australia. And yeah, they do a cool little pop-up, well, not a pop-up event, but there is a course in the ground, and they expand it, I think, to make it a bit more tournament-friendly. But I think it's just a fun camping setup. I saw that the footy club has got involved and going to let the people use the change rooms and the club rooms and stuff like that. So, going to be dope. So get on to Tintinara. If you've never been, it's going to be a good one.
Nice.
I think that's it for the Regos, but plenty of stuff I did see. I finally watched Chris Scott's stuff.
Oh, cool.
The vlogs for Vic Open got me hooked in. I watched that and I really enjoyed it. That was a nice little insight into his weekend, which was fun. Do you see that?
That's the one I've seen. Have you done a bit of a deep dive?
Oh, well, he's posted a couple of things before. I just never clicked on him. But he's done like a champs versus chumps sort of thing. He had an Ultra Star disc only round with him and Martin Goh in a doubles partnership against Aiden.
Yep.
And I thought that was cool down at Bald Hill. So they just did the front nine, and that was enjoyable. I liked that video. And something else. I didn't get to watch the other one, but I think maybe he did something with Skins. I think he did like a vlog from his Skins thing or something. But he stuff's pretty cool. So it's fun. Check it out.
Yeah,
I think it's got a weird name, right? Like Cameras and Gadgets and Things or something.
Yeah, I couldn't actually tell you. We should have maybe been a bit prepared for this. But if you've got Chris Scott on socials, you'll find a post about it. But it's a good video. And it really captures kind of the event. You know, obviously it's disc golf, but it brings in the other side of it as well. So yeah, I do remember his camera being in my face in the middle of between two chains.
Oh, no, yeah.
Between two chains. So I was wondering if Between Two Chains might have got a sneaky little mention. It wasn't in there, but it's a great video, well worth watching.
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, if you go onto YouTube and just search for Vic Open Vlog, he's the only one who's done none. So
yeah,
so easy. But yeah, check that out. And another thing that came across my desk, well, I think it must have come across everyone's desks. Did you get an email from the Disc Golf Pro Tour about a new app called Pured.
No, I did not. Well, I did not read it. I saw this on the run sheet. I saw this on the run sheet and I was like, I wonder what Alan is talking about.
So the email says there is a new disc golf app and it's free for both iPhone and Android devices. Pured recently launched, so click the download button and consider yourself an early adopter. Pured is a low-key social network where disc golfers can find nearby players who have similar skill levels and schedules, post or join upcoming rounds, and curate a disc golf content that fuels improvement. There's no like button, no comment section, and in-app chat lets you keep your cell number private. Start using Pured with your friends to coordinate flex start cards and to play with people outside your club. Pured has improvements and new features in development. So there is a disc golf social media app now available.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if we're getting, I don't know if we're big enough at the moment. We pretty much know most of the people that are playing, but yeah, very interesting. There must be some sort of market for it that someone thought will put some time, money, and effort into this.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen them advertise something else on their socials, Disc Golf Pro Tour, that was like the alternative to UDisc for like scoring a round as well.
Yeah.
And it was horrific. And I just don't know, like, yeah, I don't know what this is. I don't know. I'm going to assume it's going to be absolutely jank. And I don't know what they're playing at. Like, what's the connection? Like, why? Why are they plugging this so aggressively?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know. But, yeah. Maybe one of our listeners has signed up and is a Pured member. If so, let us know.
Let us know.
And if you're keen, then check your junk mail because it's probably in there.
Yeah.
All right, so we had the Vic Open, which is the fourth stop on the Disc Golf Victoria Tour.
Yes.
So we now that you had access to the results, you did the tabulations, and we have an update to the leaderboard. Have you got that in front of you?
I certainly do.
Lovely, because I'm working on finding it. Do you have the leaderboard for the results for the Vic Open as well, or just the updated leaderboard?
I can have both in a matter of seconds. Yeah, I've got the overall, and now I also have the Vic One open in front of me now as well.
Yeah, sweet. So what was the? Because there is a bit of crossover with the people playing the different courses, so people might not have known exactly how it shook out.
Yeah. But, So that was some shenanigans, more shenanigans than normal, in regards to my spreadsheet skills. They were challenged because the issue that I discovered was, as long as you're playing different rounds, different courses, it doesn't matter. As long as I sort you by your rating average. But what was transpiring was because players were shooting on the gold course, like different rounds, and they were rating differently, they didn't hold consistent. And similarly with the white course on day one and day three, the same scores were not holding the rating consistency. And then if players were having an outrageous day two in the lower divisions and shooting really well on the gold, I couldn't just sort by rating average. Sorting by rating average was actually like skewing the thing. And I was noticing that there was players like with better scores or equivalent scores that were like getting less points. Anyway, it was this whole shenanigans that I eventually figured out.
Excellent. Basically, what we're trying to say is if you're looking at a leaderboard and you think you've gotten fucked, you didn't. You didn't. A lot of time and effort is going into this. So category one, the big dogs, no surprises because they all played open. Ruben Berg and Ryan Johnson snuck in there towards the lower end with the MP40 results. But yeah, it was pretty much just the top 10 or top 20-odd in the MPO.
Yeah.
But in category two, we had fucking some shenanigans. Benedict O'Byrne, that piece of shit, 929 rated. Very frustrating.
Yeah.
Managed to sneak a big fat win. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's three. There's actually three 929 rated. No, count again. There's four. Is that four?
Oh, yeah, Josh Smith too.
Josh Smith. Jesus Christ. There are four 9-2 rated players in that division.
I can't imagine Benedict O'Byrne is going to be in that for the rest of the year. He's more on the up and up than anything else, I think. So I don't think he's going to dip at all. So, but he is taking some pretty hefty victual points early in Category 2, which is frustrating. So him, Mikey Hare, Chris Saxby, and then Sam Stoyer coming in fourth place there, which is good. And you have to look way down to Last Cash, I'm going to call
yes.
it.
Yes.
To find myself, Hardy, Cam, and Nick Hall. Someone else, I feel like.
That was four players, yeah.
Okay, cool. All sneaking into Last Cash with 15 points. So let's go. My my Victua is not doing so good. what about category three?
Category three, you got Don Carter. Big. Finding himself at the top of that leaderboard. So he took 12th in his division at the Vic Open, but it was enough to get the chocolates in Div 3. He tied it up, though, with the same score as Claire Hussey, obviously the winner of FPO. So well done, Hussey and Don, both taking 100 points there. Then you had our mate, Mr. Anonymous himself, Michael Woolley, and Broden Sherritt rounding out the top four. Making Last Cash, you got who we got in there? You got Ryan Nicholson
any
down
Victorians?
There.
Any Victorians? Yeah.
Nah, no.
Just
Victorians.
Paul Arden.
Yeah.
Just Paul Arden on Last
oh,
Cash.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Correct, Paul Arden.
Yeah, I don't mind. Like, I like that it's not just the Victorians in it. Like, you got to do a little bit on the Victor to actually win it. You got to beat some interstaters as well.
Yeah, yeah. So you got someone like, it's actually good to look at. You find your dad missing out on points. You find Chu, even the winner of his division, but not enough to get points
Stiff.
Div 3.
Stiff.
Yeah.
And then in, what do we got? The Div 4 must be. Ash Wiedner.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yes. Yeah.
Right out of the top. Nice little win there for Ashley Boy and Dave Gannon. So
ring a ding ding.
Yeah, he probably should. Oh, no, he got. Yeah, no, all good. He played at a quite good event. Dropped off in the last round, but enough still to get second points. 95 is doing plenty.
Yep.
Who else we got in there? Last Cash is Georgia Carroll. Taking a sneaky
toast
little
scraping
five.
Some points in there. Brett Brobridge and the lesser known, the other Chris Scott also jagging some points.
Ash Brookers with a few good points there too.
Yeah.
And what about the women's division?
And yeah, so, obviously, no, that's not the women's division. That is category five. You made a skip once, but yeah, Kirsten. Takes out the most points. Kirsten Murray takes out the 100 points in Div 5 over Tobias Weber and Mark Carter, and Roland Weber, who took out, rounded out the top four.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. And Last Cash is there, Barry Partridge, just
exactly.
Ahead of Janet.
And then, yeah, obviously in the women's, you got Hussey taking the 100. Cassie taking the 95, Sarah Lee, Kirsten Murray comes in and takes third spot ahead of Haley, takes fourth spot ahead of Haley, who did jag fourth in the FPO. But Kirsten, with her outrageous final round, was enough to get her fourth spot on that leaderboard.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So then the leaderboards themselves, is that... updated, must be here. So Updated leaderboard for Category 1. Out on top is Ryan Hart. So just sneaking ahead of Patrick Robinson, Dave Perry, and Dylan Feldman. But young Ryan Hart doing the work there.
Yeah. Well, it's at fourth, I think he jagged at the Vic Open. So, yeah, he's obviously a journeyman. He's obviously played more events than Dylan. I would have to assume he's played more events than David Perry as well. But maybe Paddy and Ryan have paid the same amount, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Paddy's played all three and Ryan's played all three. So
there you go.
But a forgettable effort on the putting green at the Ruffy Rumble has done Paddy in, I think.
Yeah, correct.
Oh, just another funny little memory of that. Category 2, bang, Mikey Hare taking a pretty solid lead on top now over Ryan Michel and Benedict never going to earn points again, Burn. I am, what is that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th place on what is a victory score. I'm on 100 with 3 events under my belt. You could have got that on the Benedict got out on the weekend.
So you obviously you haven't found it on the website. You're still looking at the spreadsheet.
Oh yeah, am I reading the wrong things?
No. You've nailed it. It's just that if you were on the website, it just says 7th next to your name.
Oh, so,
yeah. I just heard you counting.
just on the spreadsheet. who's right there ready to poise? Sam Stoyer made big moves, so with Mikey, Ryan and Benedict all threatening to be too highly rated and never earn points again, Sam Stoyer could be our new favorite to win Category 2.
Look, I don't want to throw shade, but I do.
Yeah,
and
go it.
Benedict O'Byrne, I'm with you 100%. He's not going to play many more events in Category 2. The other two, yeah, you're right. They shouldn't. they shouldn't.
But they're going to?
I feel like they're going to play more Category 2 events.
Fair enough. Oh, they'll probably win it then, those two pricks. Being just not quite good enough, but good enough.
Yeah, they just... Like, yeah, both of them. I'd be interested to look at their Vic Open, to be honest. I don't know if they've played that far above 9:30.
No, probably not. what about Category 3?
Where are we? Category 3, Tim Stevenson.
Mm-hmm, big.
Yeah. Expat in from the UK with Lee Thompson. So, obviously, both journeymen there. Tim and Lee play a lot of disc golf. And then you've got Huss. Sitting comfortably in third, tied with Don Carter. It's a tight leaderboard.
Yeah, pretty big drop-off after that, too, to Lewis and even more to Michael Woolley, who he won't play any more Vintage Victorious. So it looks like that might be the battle up the top right there. But maybe our boy Bacanti Beans can take a big scalp somewhere and move up.
Yeah, you would hope so.
Category 4. Oh, sorry, yeah.
I was just going to say, Ryan Michel's round 1, 908. Round 2, 927. So neither of those are getting him out of the division. But then the real Ryan Michel rocked up and he shot a 980.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So okay. Surely, Mikey Hare, better event. He had a 950 and a 970 round. So
good. Get the fuck out.
He might be gone.
Get the fuck out of my division.
All right, what did you say?
Category 4, we got Daniel Frawley just ahead of Ash Widener with the big event at the Vic Open. And miles behind that is Terry Bohan and Dave Gannon and Chris Scott. But pretty tight battle there for 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th even.
Still
plenty to play for.
Two-horse race a little bit, but... Yeah, it's just going to be interesting as the year shakes out and divisions change. I'm wondering if Ash Widener is maybe he's just played. He's definitely played above 850 for the Vic Open.
Ooh, so he might be poised to pop up.
You might be. You might be.
Category five, got Tobias Webber battling it out with Mark Carter on top. And the whole rest of the Webber clan not too far behind. And then the women's, no surprise, we've got Huss way out in front with Georgia Carroll and Anita Webber in pretty close second and third. But Huss has showed up to all three of the events, I think, and has played quite well in all three of the events. So taking out the top points available for the women's at the GCC, the Ruffy Rumble, and the Vic Open. So three from three, pretty hard to beat that.
Great start to the season by Haas.
Yeah, very great start. all right, now this has got me pretty G'd up. The announcement of the Team Australia.
Thank fuck
or the
that,
Australia
though.
Team or whatever the hell that's called. Yeah, you your duties are done. You volunteered pretty hard and now you probably don't have to do it again forever.
Forever. Forever. I tell you what, they could do worse than just use us every year, though. But they're going to have to slide a brown paper bag under the table if they're going to get me involved again.
Nice. I'm just trying to find the list.
I got it. So, I got it up.
Yeah, lovely. So I'm interested to know on how much you can delve into it. But I am definitely here to give my thoughts.
Excellent. Yeah. I'll see what you get out of me. I've had a whiskey or two.
Nice.
We'll see what you get out of me.
Well, read out the MPO, please. The All six right. players from MPO?
Correct. So we've got Alex Canaston, WA boy, Aussie D, Blake Houston, obviously the WA duo, David Perry, Luke Bain, and Paddy Robinson.
Excellent. So I I remember a while ago in the group chat, you were talking about it, and I think you were talking about it being sort of this in-depth process, and I was going to very arrogantly just be like, I can pick the team for you right now. No
yep.
problems. You just tell me the amount we need, and I'll tell you the players.
Yeah.
I can tell you with extreme confidence that was the six I would have selected for you just off the top of my head a while ago. I think they're the best players we got, basically. Dylan would be in there if he wanted to, but I know he didn't put his hand up.
Yeah.
And I think the two WA boys are no-brainers. They would be the two best players on that course in Australia. So that's so, so easy. You've got Bainey, who has been the highest or one of the highest rated players for a year or two now. Dave Perry, who, yeah, as of like the last 6 months when he started playing disc golf again, is also one of the highest rated players in the country. And then you've got a couple slots that are sort of up for grabs, but they're the two I would have gone with. So Austin's ceiling is as high as it gets. So I just think if you roll on the dice, like if you're looking for a couple slots and you've got, you know, Austin, Jade, Dan Frost, you've got, what kind of thing, Morton, Timmy B, like there's a lot of guys playing good disc golf. Chili. But for mine, Austin's ceiling is massive. So, and with match play, if he just comes out and just whacks the first four holes and just goes bang, 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 that can be pretty demoralizing and like stuff the whole round up for some of these people. And I think they're only nine hole comps sometimes too. So to me, it's sort of like your wild card pick. I think that's not giving him enough respect for how good he is at disc golf. But when you're looking at sort of the top, top end, bang, I'm picking him because he can just take it down. And then, ironically, I'm taking Paddy for the full opposite reason. If I'm looking at all the rest of those guys, I don't see that their ceiling is necessarily that much higher than Paddy's, if at all. But I can tell their floor is. And Paddy's not going to kill you. There's no way. Like, he might lose the matchup, but he's not getting toasted. So he's going to stay in it. and have chances. So I think if Dylan was to put his hand up, I'd have to have a conversation with myself about whether I'd rather the consistency or the higher ceiling. But he didn't put his hand up, so I just don't think there was anyone else I would pick out of those, out of anyone, to take any one of those spots. So I think you guys have nailed it. What are your thoughts on it?
Couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah, no, well said. And it was like, it was like you're in the room. I think you've definitely been a part of some of the conversations with the intel you're bringing to that.
No, honestly, that's just for anyone listening, Chris has been very good at telling us fuck all.
I hope you haven't bugged my house.
No.
But no, I've got nothing else to add. I think it's a 6-6. It's a 6-6. Like, bring it on the rest of the world.
Yeah, nah, it slaps. I just think with the current landscape of Australian disc golf, to me, they're all no-brainers. So, what about this is where it got more squirrely. This is where it definitely got more squirrely. I could have picked these six straight up, but the rest, it gets a little bit difficult. What about the FPO?
Yeah, so the four that make it are Cassie Sweeten, Gina Hill, Sarah Lee, and Kirsten Murray.
Big. So with the four spots, I think it's pretty obvious you go with Sarah and Cassie. Like, I think they're just locks. They've been big time performers for a few years now. And then, that's where it gets a little bit squirrely after that. Would have been pretty dope to have Huss in, but I guess she's playing for England now, yeah?
Yeah, correct. And another player, I think it's worth mentioning, you might have been about to say her, but just in case you weren't, there's, just like I called out Ryan Johnson for pulling out, he was unable to make it. The same happened in the FPO, which I think would have made the decision even harder for the selectors. But Alex Williams pulled out.
Yeah, she's been playing some very good disc golf over the last year, just getting better and better. So, Gina Hill's got the experience there, right? She's been in Team Australia before. And I think we saw at the Vic Open that her ceiling is pretty high as well. So, not the event she wanted, but I think she did end up putting together one very good round, right? That final round was quite hot.
Yeah, correct. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I remember talking about it on the last pod. What was it? It was a 72. So plus, a plus 8?
Yeah, in my head it was something like that, which that's very good golf.
Two shots better than me, final round.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So now that makes sense to me. And then the fourth one, this sounds to me kind of like an Austin style pick, where the ceiling possibility. So same with Gina, we saw that Kirsten had plus 10 final round.
Yep, 74. Yep.
And I think that's some pretty great golf too. So. Definitely tough. Like, there was other, like, Tosha's got a lot of experience there as well. I can't remember some of the other names, but I don't mind that fourth pick. Just throwing something out there. Who knows? She might get there and find that, you know, their front nine on whatever one of the courses is just sick and she loves it. And I don't mind that pick. What was the thought process sort of behind that?
Like all of our decisions, there was some tough ones there. There was a few names in the mix, of course. All right, they were all in the mix. You had Sam Ockerby, Tosh, and you also had Leah Manning in the mix as well. Like I said, Alex Williams pulled out. So it was a tough call. It was a tough call down the stretch. And in the end, Kirsten got the nod. And we're looking forward, as I'm sure the rest of Australia, we're looking forward to seeing what she puts out there at the end of the year.
Definitely. And now the MP40s, we were speculating on this one the most, just because it's pretty near and dear to our heart with our good friend Darren being in the mix. How did that shake out? Only two spots for the MP40s. Tough gig to get.
We had Noisy in there. Ryan Johnson pulled out. That's the big one. Ryan Johnson not able to make it for whatever reasons. Real big, because he obviously nearly took down Vic Open. Could have and should have taken down Vic Open. He won MA1 Nationals up in Queensland and then went back-to-back in the most spectacular fashion against Feezy. That'll stick with me for such a long time, that little playoff he had with Feezy at Tassie. And he would, it's just hard to ignore those trophies. It's hard to ignore those trophies. But in the end, Ruben Berg, he's just gone from strength to strength to strength and is out and away by far the best MP40 player in the nation currently. The best MP40 player in the nation currently. And obviously got it done at Vic Open. And then Finney, I wonder, he may even be course designer. But obviously WA boy, our next best, as per a lot of other measures, he gets the nod.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, Ruben is a no-brainer as it gets, for sure. Been dominating. And, it was without Ryan Johnson. It sort of came down to a bit of dealer's choice, probably. And with Finney being, like you said, probably the course designer, I think that sort of was a pick that just ended up having to be done. So his ratings have been dipping. Hopefully he can fire back up for the team's event and do something special for us.
Hopefully he doesn't go too hard with the personal trainer the morning of event. And he should be exactly right to go.
Either way, I'm sure he'll keep us all well informed.
We love you, Finney.
Oh, well, that's Team Australia. So, I'm pretty G'd up. I think that's a pretty decent team. But I think there's some heat coming down.
The reception online has been big, positive. Pretty amped to see how it all goes. And there's some big names coming out now the teams have been announced. You know, I've seen Jen Allen confirm she'll be there. It's confirmed that gun from the UK, her name escapes me right now. Roberta, whatever her name is.
Yeah, Rebecca Ogden. Yep.
Something like that. She's definitely coming out for Team UK. Her alongside Hussey, that's a big 1-2 combo. I won't be there, but I'll be watching.
I won't be there.
But I'll be watching from afar.
Yeah, we need someone to really, really hurry up and figure out this fucking match play scoring system. So that we can watch all this shit live.
Maybe
someone come up with it.
Maybe Pured can get onto that. Pured.
Nice. Nah, excellent. And well done for putting your hand up for team selection. Sick job. Sounds like you put a lot of hours into it, and I think you guys have done a very, very good job.
I would just like to thank the rest of the selection committee and the high performance team for their support. But genuinely, I need to tip the hat to Kevin, Sue, and Jace. And I think I've said on the pod, if I haven't already, I went in there with the least amount of Excel skills, and I know my way around an Excel spreadsheet. And Jason probably took the cake in that category, and he just did a lot of work. There's so much data. Like, I don't want to go into the ins and outs of how we made our selection, but just know that we slept pretty easy that night. As tough as it was, there was just a lot of work went into it, and we back in our decisions, and we look forward to seeing how the team will perform.
Awesome. All right, let's check out the Dynamic Discs Open that played on the weekend. So I didn't get to watch much of it. Busy weekend, I think, for me. I did nothing, but I slept a bit and then did other stuff after that. So the mornings were tough, and then it's been a hectic week, so I haven't really been able to do any of the catch up. But I swear, for whatever reason, this is by far the course I've watched the most tournaments at. Like, there's no way I have, and there's another course that's even close. Like, I swear, I must have just watched years and years worth of like Glassblown Open,
yeah,
and then DDOs. Was there any other tournaments played here, or is it just that? And I just have watched the last 20 of them or some shit.
Glassblown was like a pioneer in like big ticket, like big event. Like I remember, yeah, when I was getting into the game, people would just talk about the Glassblown and how 500 players would rock up to play in this event. And yeah, I think it's probably mostly just been Glassblown and obviously now DDO.
Yeah, no, it must just be that. But yeah, so all those holes are pretty, pretty familiar to me, which was cool. But the big change they made was on hole 18. So it's now been bought, like the country club has been bought by a private entity, like someone who's in the disc golf community, and they're trying to turn it around for the community, but also make it a like a disc golf destination.
Yep.
And it's given them some free rein to do more stuff than they've ever been able to do before. But the big change they made was on hole 18. So pretty iconic hole. Well, in the past, I think you could try some spicy lines. Like, I feel like the basket was precariously placed, right? Like, on close to a hill.
Yeah, it was so on a hill near a water edge. But you now carry that water in a different way. But you never used to carry to, obviously, where the basket is now. But you could do some dodgy things and cut off corners. Basically, it was hard to birdie. Hole 18's been hard to birdie. It's now not hard to birdie necessarily, but it's hard to eagle, and a few players went for that. But some players used to, because if you shot long off the tee, you then had a really tough approach. So what used to happen was a lot of players used to go short off the tee and then throw a big hyzer over water to try to jag the birdie.
Yeah, because you'd be coming into the hill rather than going down it if you threw the sort of backhand turnover or the power sidearm if you went the safe off the tee option. So was a spicy hole, so pretty big move to change it, but I think it's worked out pretty good. They made it a par 5 and they just put it in a little patch of land over the water, so you can still play that straight play, but then you basically have to force to a layup and then what should be an easy birdie for you, but it proved not to quite be that case. Or you could still play that short layup area and then boost an absolute mash over to the island for the eagle attempt. And even actually saw some people play the straight play and hit like a specific gap, and then you could throw like a laser beam through the trees onto the island. I feel like I saw Ezra. So I think it was pretty cool. What did you think of the change?
Yeah, 18 was playing cool. I was able to watch bits and bobs over the weekend. Obviously, Monday's hard with us being at work. But I've caught up. I've been doing a bit of jogging in the morning on the treadmill. So I've watched a bit of Jomez throughout the week. So I'll try to catch up on the final round.
Well, the things that stand out to me on hole 18 was how shit people were at putting at that basket. For whatever reason, I saw a lot of people fuck that up. No more so than two names. So Austin Turner, who I think was, I don't know, like 7 down or something, maybe in the first round up until that point. And what he like 5 putted or some shit, right? Did you see that?
I didn't see it. I didn't see it, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, I feel like, man, I'm trying to remember. I might be getting these confused, but I think this was his. I think he was parked there for birdie and was going to tap in for his neg 8 or something like that. And he was like a meter away, like a couple meters away, and full airballs it. And goes out of bounds. And he starts walking over his disc to get it, and then like must have triggered, oh wait, just re-putt, your dickhead, because it went out of bounds. He's taking the penalty stroke.
Yep.
So he goes back to where his disc was, like 2 meters from the basket, and misses again.
Jesus Christ.
And then has like an actual like tap in after that. Like, it was some of the most fuck shit. Like, I think he airballed two from, like, 2 meters. Like, it's insane.
I need to find this.
Insane. It was crazy, man. Yeah, Austin Turner. I'm almost certain that's what happened. Ends up taking, like, an 8 or some shit.
You got another one about Hole 18, and then
So the other one I saw was Jake Hebenheimer. This was a disaster as well. So he played the short shot and throws in an incredible eagle attempt. Just throws a beautiful laser beam, little drift, bang, gets onto the island. Inside the circle. And then what? How many times does he miss it? 4 putts in my head. Takes a 6.
Yeah.
I feel like he did an eagle e-dogie. I think he 4 putted. Like, he ended up having, like, it was like air ball, cage, tap in or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Insane. But I saw many, many people miss pretty routine putts on 18. But those two were crazy, because one of them fucked up an eagle and bogeyed it, which is just unheard of. And Austin Turner fucked his whole round. I'm certain he was like -7 coming into that and was going to get an -8 and then end up with like -4 or something. Like, yeah,
hold on nuts. To your hat. Hold on to your hat. So,
yeah, you got the info?
I've got info. I've got crazy info. I'm going to pay a compliment to PDGA statistics.
Oh no, what?
I can now go into stats, right, for a tournament, and I can look at that exact statistic. Did people putt badly on hole 18?
Big.
Fuck yeah, they did.
There you go.
In round three, it was the second hardest hole to putt on, with only 39 C1 hits out of 57. Don't know how that quite checks out, the 39 out of 57. But all you do need to know is it went 68% for C1 putting. The only hole to go harder for round three was hole 16, which is obviously the hole.
Yeah, and that's because no one was putting at it.
Yeah, where everyone lays up.
Yeah.
So
So I don't know what it was. Like, yeah. I wonder if it was just crazy wind in that spot. Like, it is a slightly elevated basket, but like, they almost all are now on the pro tour. Like, these guys are so good at that. I don't know, man. It was nuts. I remember seeing a lot of people fuck it up. And then, so what should just be an easy hole to birdie, they're going up and playing that easy birdie play, and they've got themselves like a 80 to 100 meter, you know, line in, which for them is nothing, straight line, and they all put it to like 25 feet and miss. It's crazy.
And just to reinforce my comment about it being now easy to birdie, only one other hole in round three did players get to see one in regulation more often, and that was hole 14. But then the next easiest hole is hole 18. Hole 18, people were getting to birdie looks all of the time, but then putting horrifically.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So the only critique I would have is they obviously want to encourage that eagle bid, because they've made that par 5 like and have that slot there. So yeah. why is there so much OB in that short layup zone? So it's crazy. Cool. Like, I understand the water and stuff is, but they bring the fairway over to a point and then just cut it. And if you just extend it, I reckon you'd see more people, especially on the 18th, just be like, ah, fuck it. And throw the mid-range and then the bomb. I don't know if you saw this, but Anthony Barella threw to it and then threw a big hyzer, all hyzer, over the, like, no laser beam, just high spike hyzer onto the green. It was fucked. It was so far. Like, he's the only one who can do that.
He's a beast. How was his drive on hole 1, round 2? Have you seen that one? Oh, 700 feet.
Jesus Christ.
And I think he bogeyed. he did bogey.
Hole 1 stuff, yeah.
Yeah, he, like, threw it 300 feet past everyone else, but it just landed like in some whatever those bushes and shit are on the edge of the fairway, and he had to just like janky pitch out, and then it didn't work out, and then missed the putt, and then took a bogey, or something along those lines. But it's just like the world's longest drive. Like you hear about spinning catch cams. He spun the catch cam, but then it was like getting out of shot. Like it wasn't like, oh, look, now it landed past me, giggle, giggle. Oh, it's going 200 feet past me and I can't actually see it anymore. Because everyone just like plays a hyzer or a sidearm off that hole, off that tee, and he, and or a Kelvin like fairway laser beam. But AB just went, ah, no, 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 no. I'm going to put some big boys out there.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
The other thing before we get to the results that I wanted to talk about, this was actually going to be my spotlight, but after listening to Tour Life today, it's changed my perspective on it. I want to know your thoughts. But on round two, I think, it was May the 4th, and on hole 16, the spotter had a full-on Jedi outfit and had red and green lightsabers. So if you were safe, you got a, he pulled out his green lightsaber, and if you were out, he pulled out his red lightsaber.
Not familiar with the film, but I loved it.
What?
I said I'm not familiar with the film.
I know you're like a weirdo who hasn't seen Star Wars, but you're aware of what like Star Wars is.
Exactly. And so I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Like I said, it was going to be my spotlight. But Brody was asking Calvin and, Zach Melton, their thoughts on it. And, Calvin was instantly tentative, but you could tell he was against it. Zach Melton seemed for it. And then, Brody was saying how he was against it. And it's like a professionalism aspect. And I was still a little like, I don't know. Zach Melton was like, well, they're just volunteers. Like if it was a paid thing from, you know, them, then maybe I'd understand. But the way Brody put it, he said, all right, let's just say Calvin throws a sick ace. It's on coverage. And then this guy's loses his mind. He's so excited to see the ace that he's got his like green lightsaber and he's doing some crazy lightsaber moves in the background. He goes, and then that video makes SportsCenter top 10. And then both Zach and Calvin were just like, oh, yeah, that wouldn't look very good for us. And I was like, yeah, well, you make a pretty good point. Like, because I think that's fantastic. But, yeah, if someone took an ace and that video went on SportsCenter and it started going viral or whatever, then every one of my mates would be like, is this the gay sport you play?
I don't know. I reckon
it'd be hard to defend.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's tough because, like I said, I thought it was cool as shit, but then I was like, oh, maybe I'm just a nerd.
I reckon, like, if golf had spotters, like the same way disc golf does, in like scenarios like that, Live Golf on May the 4th would have Star Wars dressed up characters.
True.
Like, it's a thing. Live Golf is like obviously not mainstream, and sure, it's not mainstream, but disc golf doesn't have to be mainstream. I don't think disc golf's trying to be mainstream. So I'm for it still. Good work.
Nice. All right. Well, yeah, that's my spotlight. All right. Well, we should get to the winner. It was after 370 days. I don't know. People were making a pretty big deal out of this. Calvin Heimberg gets the win finally, people keep saying, but I don't know, the dude killed it last year. He just only got the one early win, I think, or a couple early wins, but yeah, Calvin with the W. What do you think? Is that is this overdue, or are people just being a bit dramatic?
No, it's to hear you say 370 days surprises me, to be honest. Like, I think people are being dramatic. Like, I thought he'd won more recently than that. I know, obviously, he hadn't. But, yeah, he had a sick season here, and he's an elite disc golfer, and he's had a bit of an injury, and he's back, and he will have another strong second half to the season, no doubt about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a nice big win there for Calvin. It wasn't really close in the end. Like, it's three strokes over Gannon now, but it wasn't, yeah, I don't know. He was so far ahead. It was just sort of him and then Ricky. Gannon was having a hot comeback round, but it was mostly just sort of him and Ricky seemingly an insurmountable distance back. And then Ricky dropped way off in the end, ended up in equal fifth. So Gannon snuck into second because the dude's a freak and he threw a ridiculous final round. And Gavin Rathbun there in third, which was cool to see. He was repping his double eagle gear. He's got these really cool double eagle shirts. I'm a big fan.
I did see that. It looked good. He's doesn't have a sponsor this year, doesn't he?
No disc sponsor, and he says he doesn't want one. So he's happy with his bag, and it's got him third place and $3,500, so not bad.
Talking about ridiculous second rounds, how's bloody Joey Buckets?
Big time.
Joey Buckets Anderson. Yeah. Who is this guy, and why has he been, like, top 10 or something? Like, I feel like I've seen his name, like, every event. Like, he's constantly been, like, at least chase card.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Castaplas' number one guy, and he was potentially robbed of Rookie of the Year last year, like had a pretty good year last year, but this year just taken it to another level and has been there or thereabouts in a lot of tournaments, just not been able to fully finish as hard as he'd like. But, yeah, fourth place here with what I believe was the course record.
Course record. Yeah, definitely.
Final round. So Calvin laid up on 18. Otherwise, it would have been tied. But sick. Joey Buckets just having a strong, strong year.
Who'd you tip?
And Presnell there in fifth, not having the hangover. So, and it's such a different course to what he played last week at the major. So pretty cool to see him still up there.
Yeah, good shot.
My tips. I've been having like a thereabouts year, like good enough, keeping in touch, got some good ones in the bank. And now the year might just be over. I was real confused of who to pick. There didn't seem to be any standouts to me. Some obvious ones besides people that I don't want to pick just yet or the people that I have picked. So I went for a guy who is always just pretty good. And I think he had a good event there last year. And that is Joel Freeman. And you will see his name down there in 55th place.
Yep.
Tied with 989 rated Ryan Mulder.
Done.
Same.
Same. Should have tipped Ryan.
Should have tipped Ryan Mulder. Jesus. I'm just trying to quick scan. Yep, there is no one higher rated than him below him.
Yeah. That finished the event.
Yeah, no one technically played worse than he did for his level. So, sick tip. How about yourself?
Oh, I tell you who played better. Elijah Bickle.
Oh, did he? Our boy. Yeah. Oh, there he is.
49.
Let's go.
And if you go up just a little bit higher, you'll find my tip, who started the event with a 62, Ezra Adahold.
Oh, yeah. He fell way off.
Way off. 362s is an easy top 10. 67 and a 71 is not getting it done. Disappointing.
Gross. Yeah, not good tipping for us then. Oh, before we move on, we have to actually touch on this. So, bunch of DNFs. But two of them in particular. So Nico LeCastro just never showed up.
Yep, apparently.
Just didn't show up to hole one. And he got himself an 888 for just never showing up and not notifying the TD. That's the kicker. If you just don't show up and don't notify him, boom, that's it. Another 88 is Cole Radalin. And I don't know what the fuck happened here. So I know he was playing super trash, 70 and then a 74. He was one of the last cards. And he actually got held up because the FPL are in a playoff and they're like, we need this hole and you guys are trash to us. So they had to wait for the FPO. He reckons 45 minutes. I don't know if I buy that, but at least a while. Anyway, and then he makes some video like, oh, if I ace it, I'll keep playing. If I don't, I'll pull out. And doesn't ace, so he just left. Just fucked off on hole 16.
Yep.
Ridiculous. So he gets an 888. What pisses me off the most, though, is our boy Picante Beans tipped him.
Yep.
And the DNF actually gave him a fucking better result. So that's frustrating.
He would have
got a millionth place, but instead he got the average of whatever else picked.
Yep.
And I got fucking a millionth place, but jeez, yeah. And we need to work on that for next year, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, what were your thoughts on that? I don't know, man. Just play, right? You're there. Just finish.
Oh, yeah, that's just pathetic. It's pathetic. It's sad. It's disappointing. And he's copped some heat, rightfully so, and he'll continue to cop some heat. Just doing a bit of Googling about what the 888 even means. Doesn't...
You get... yeah.
It doesn't look doesn't like...
Doesn't mean fuck all to them.
Yeah, it doesn't mean too much, yeah.
Yeah, so you get an instant 5 points docked from your rating.
Yeah.
For whatever, 6 months or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I'm reading it.
But it's more just like a shame marker.
Yeah, but I definitely had it in there as at least an honorable mention for my not light later.
Oh, sorry, should have left it.
Nah, all good. No, rightfully so, brought it up. It was all very, very confusing. And yeah, his Instagram post hasn't saved any grace. He's just been honest and said, yeah, I just quit because I'm a wuss.
Yeah, fuck yeah. No. I'll probably tip him next week. This is the kind... He's a very good disc golfer, and this is the kind of yeah. thing where you come out the next tournament and dominate. So don't be surprised if you see Cole Radala next to my name in the tipping next week.
Yeah.
All right, in the FPO, I mentioned we had a playoff. So I didn't quite see how this went down, but I believe Haley King choked it, like had the win and choked it to get Missy a chance for the playoff.
Potentially, I can find out for you. She bogeyed the last. Missy bogeyed the last. Haley bogeyed the last. But didn't miss a putt.
She threw it in. That's it. So the very routine hole 18, she had that very routine upshot and she threw it into the water.
There you go.
So yeah, could have had the birdie and the win.
Did you hear about this playoff though?
Would have been fine.
Did you hear about the playoff though?
I heard a little bit. What did you hear about it?
They play three holes.
Yeah.
Just that
yeah,
straight
so
up.
I heard it got to...
No, it didn't get it didn't get to three holes. That was the playoff.
This makes more sense. Makes more sense about what I'm hearing there.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Because I heard that Haley King called a foot fault on Missy Gannon and an official saw it. Like, there was an official there and was like, nah. So what had happened is Missy like kicked her disc, but she had thrown it by the time her foot had kicked.
Yep.
So the official overruled her, and people were just giving Haley shit because apparently it was over. And I was confused as how it would have been so clearly over through one hole, but Missy must have done the work in the first or second holes or something that it was no chance she was going to
lose. What happened was they played 16, 17, 18, which is crazy, and they both birdie 16, which is huge, right? So they both hit the island, birdie 16. But then on hole 17, Missy gets the birdie, Haley takes the bogey. And so if you're following along from home with no audio, you might be like, okay, cool, well done, Missy. And then they walk onto hole 18. And you're like,
what the fuck?
What's going on? But yeah, this is like a direction they're talking about going in is a three-hole aggregate playoff.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
Nah, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just bizarre. It's like... sudden death. It makes sense. The three-hole aggregate. Yeah, I don't know. Because what are you going to do here? Like, you're going to have, like, someone birdie the second, someone par it, then flip-flop, and then what, play six holes?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't like it.
Or is it then okay that it's sudden death? It wasn't okay to be sudden death after three rounds, but now that we've played these extra three and we're still drawed, sudden death is now okay. I don't know. Or if they keep on playing three-hole aggregate, you're going to get bloody 20-hole whole playoffs.
Yeah, that's crazy. Nah, that's not for me.
Yeah.
I don't get that one. Well, anyway, well done, Missy. That's her second win this year. Hayley King in second. Emily Weatherman, who I'm unfamiliar with, takes third place, yeah, with Natalie Ryan and Holly Hanley and Lisa Falkus in fourth.
So. Who'd you tip?
In this one, I went Jen Allen. So just a bad tipping week. Same deal. There wasn't anyone that really stood out for me that I thought, oh, yeah, definitely should pick. And I've used a bit of my good tips here. So I was, I've already tipped Missy, Haley, and Natalie. So that wouldn't help me too much. And Kat, I think. So I was looking at, I think I was actually looking at Holland Hanley, who didn't play, I believe. So I'm pretty happy I didn't end up picking her. But yeah, Jen Allen, she had a good event there last year. And for whatever reason, like, her video of hers just, like, popped up on my Insta story or my Insta whatever. And was just like, I'm out here getting warm ups in, killing it. And I was like, all right, let's go. But yeah, 23rd. How about you?
I had Hayley King.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Good tip then.
Thank you. It would have been even better if Ezra put in a half decent event. Just could have put me back in the mix nearly, I wonder.
Yeah, nice. All right, enough of the pros. Let's get into some Melbourne disc golf. We had the Werribee
correct
social day. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself, which neither of us made it out to. But Marcus Fellotta had the hot score of the day with a negative 10, unsurprisingly, over nice shooting by Tim Ware and Penn Lu, both at neg 8, taking out Div 1.
Yeah, good shooting. That place does not rate very nicely. That minus 10 only comes in at 965. That's not great. It's better than that.
No, that's not a deal. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Taryn there in last place in Div 8 with a negative 2, but there's a nice gold number 1 on his scorecard there.
Is there ever? Mm. So good. It looks like $500 worth of gold, if you ask me.
It looks like $500 worth of gold, for sure. So hole 7, I've been trying to picture it all week in my head, and I cannot.
Well, I've got it. Do you want me to help?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, it's after you remember the hole we made that we kind of crossed a little creek or ditch, and then you've got to walk along the footpath to get to the next hole?
Yes.
That next hole is hole 7.
Ah, okay,
so you
cool.
can go straight at it, or you can do a sidearm, or you can do a turnover.
Yeah.
Knowing that...
Okay, short but guarded.
Short but guarded, yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, that's probably... that would just be a straight at it skip shot, I'd imagine, with Taryn, right?
I don't know. He's got it.
What were you thinking?
Well, he's got a good sidearm. He's got a more than sizable sidearm. I can see him getting there with his sidearm. Dealer's choice, as Alan would say.
Nice. Well, very nice there, Taryn. That's sick. $500 coming your way. Shame the rest of the round was no good. But
yeah. And I'm sure, obviously, Taryn being one of our most passionate listeners, he'll drop us a DM to let us know exactly how we threw it in.
Perfect. Matt Daniels with a neg 5, edging out Aaron Picante Beans and Ash Wiedner in Div B. So nice shooting there, Matt Daniels. He loves it over in the West.
Yes, he does.
You familiar with Div C's Glenn Ralston?
I am not.
Well, neg 4, just a mere 8 strokes ahead of Johnny Martin.
Yeah.
in Div C. So that's some good shooting there. That would have got him, second place in Div B and fourth place in Div A. So probably going to see that rating jump up pretty quick. Glenn Rolston, one to watch.
Like, you're definitely going to find, with a result like that, you're definitely going to find his name at the top of the handicap winners. And that's exactly where you find him. With a handicap of 17, a neg four raw. You're going all right.
Yeah, well. wins it over John Baker and Ash Wiedner there in third. Very nice. What about the other end of the spectrum? Who we got? The Alex combo. Alex Ritchie and Alex Evans both having a mare. And Taron, even with an ace, is third worst on the handicap. So, bit of a spotlight, not light there for Taron.
Correct. Well spotted.
But I think he'll just go cry into his $500.
Yeah, I think he'll survive.
We also had another social day out in Mount Xavier.
What has happened here?
Some shenanigans. So yeah. Not many people, 11 people made it out, and no one did well.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So I can't remember exactly how the scoring is. Don Carter comes in with the best score of the day at an even, and that can't be right, can it?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Should it be? Like I said, I haven't played it. You're the one who's been out there.
Oh, look, it shouldn't be. There's no MPO guys there, but you've got Camille, you've got Picanti, you've got Duncan, you've got Wayne, you've got some names there that are pretty familiar with it that you would just expect maybe not more birdies, but just a lot less bogeys. Like, Jesus.
Two laps of the nine coming to even. What do you think that roughly would rate PDJ was?
I reckon that would rate 860.
Oof, no way. Oh boy. Okay, well, I did reach out to Cam and ask him what he thought, because the scores across the board were confusing as hell, and his is a perfect example of it. So let's go hole one. He went par bogey, hole two bogey birdie, hole three birdie par, hole four double bogey birdie.
Exactly.
Double bogey to birdie. Hole five he went bogey birdie. Hole six, he went bogey par, seven birdie par, eight birdie bogey, nine par par. So nine was the only hole he shot the same for the day. And two stroke swings across like four of those holes.
Yeah.
Three strokes on one of them.
And what's so crazy is hole wild. Seven, hole seven's the hardest hole. And he's gone birdie par.
Wild.
So I just, it's just not so great golf.
I did reach out to him and he, I said, the place must be pretty wild. And he goes, nah, to be fair, it's pretty scoreable. Like, once I sort of half figured it out, I started getting the birdies. And his back nine definitely is better.
Yeah.
Even from seven, in the front nine on. So I don't know. I need to get out of there. I just need to get out of there.
You need to. You absolutely need to, because it is a sick track. An absolute sick track.
Nice. Well, I'm not going to get out there this weekend because I'm going to get to Warrnambool.
You are?
So I am. I made the executive decision. I'm going to sign up tonight. I think I might pop over tomorrow night, actually. I've been offered a spot in a mates of Aiden's house. So I'm going to sneak over with Aiden and Ryan Deere, I think. And get in some Werribee action. After my Vic Open, two okay rounds and one disaster, I need two good ones to right before the ratings update next week to keep myself above 920, I think. So
I'm
going to make it work. But yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. There's 50 odd people in it now. I'm just trying to get that up to see.
Yeah, it's 50.
Who we're looking at. So who are your tips?
Yeah,
we're running a bit long for time. So
yeah,
just quickly.
Just race through the tips. We've got Ryan Miller's taking out MA3. We have MA2. Brett Siebel's going to get that done. MA1, you're going to win. And
good call.
And MPO, Rubenberg's going to win. I haven't done all divisions. We are running long here. Give me some of your tips.
Yeah, I'll pick out the other ones then. MA40, we're going to go with Lee Thompson. He's been on a tear. MA50, Mike Vanderlyn all day, every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
FA2, I think Amy Wears is popping over from Gambia. So, boom. That's hers. Who else did we pick? MA4, did you do that one?
Nah.
Jeez. Which dart am I throwing at?
Wayne.
You reckon? Wayne Govan?
Yeah.
All right.
Wayne Govan's getting that done.
Sounds good. And then, yeah, the rest is one or two person division. So, there you go. There's the tips. But my actual tip for MA1, tough, Hayden McPherson.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, sweet. But now that'll be fun. So, we'll get out to that and let you know. One thing that will definitely happen now that I'm heading to that is we will definitely have to have episode 2 of Between Two Chains. So everybody have a look at the Hopkins Heiser list.
Yes.
Find your victims and send me some messages. Hit us up with some questions you want to hear. I might have to actually come up with something from Nathan Parrish instead of just giving him shit about being worse than me.
No, I think you should just do that every event. It should just be the exact same thing. But you call him over and you give him a wink. He doesn't listen. So you can just call him over, give him a wink. You're like, I got something for you this time. Oh, no, shit. I got nothing on my list for you, Nate.
Exactly.
Cause you're shit.
So, yeah, give us some help here, guys. I'll definitely be working on that on the car trip up. But we'll see what we can come up with. I think I've got a pretty spicy one for Matt Hill.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, what else we got on the agenda? Just spotlight, not light?
Yep.
All right, let's finish it off. My spotlight was, I was sort of mentioned earlier, but the May the 4th spotter thing, I thought that was pretty dope.
Yeah, cool. Good. Agreed. My spotlight, going a bit sideways with this one, my spotlight's going to all of the mothers out there. Without you, we simply do not exist. And you all do a phenomenal job. I take a mental health day today just to obviously hang out with the little one, which obviously my beautiful wife gets to do every day, and keep him healthy, happy and fed. And I just cannot take off all of my proverbial hats enough for you. Spotlight to all the mothers out there.
Excellent. Not lights. All right. I'm a fan of the tee off. I listen, every 6 or so weeks to when they put one out, never miss. And, a couple things popped on that I didn't quite, they stood out to me as some not lights. Good app, check it out. But when, Timmy B was racing through his, results for the Vic Open, he had mentioned Carol. He said Carol Hartley's name as the winner, and in like a very surprised voice, it was like, "Oh, Carol Hartley," and with her return to disc golf. So this is an honorable mention because I'm kind of speculating here, but I think Tim has confused Carol Hartley, who wins every tournament she plays, with Carol Heath. So. Two things there. A, he's clearly not paying attention to disc golf because Carol Hartley's been dominating. So if you're missing out on that, crazy. And secondly, if Carol Heath had to come out and taken out the FA40, should have got some fucking massive raps. That would have been a huge victory for Carol Heath. So, like I said, it is just speculation based on the inflection in his voice and the fact that he said return to disc golf. So I'm not going to go full L out on him, but I think Tim has confused Carol's there. My actual not like, they had Reese with Nesky and Blake Houston on as guests, which was pretty cool. My actual not light has to go to Reese. They asked what was your least favorite hole in at the Vic Open, and he said hole 7, and they kind of got a bit confused. They're like, oh, the par 5, and he said, yeah, he goes, because for the MPOs it's just straight, like just a straight down the fairway, should just be getting it. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, shit, he must have killed it then on the weekend. Like, easy hole. I should just be getting it. It's just straight down the fairway, yeah? Round 1, 8. Round 2, 6. And round 3 cleans up the par.
Well done, Reese.
So, 4 over for the weekend. Should just be getting it. So I don't know. I'm happy with the, it's my least favorite hole because you probably should just get it, but it's shit and you can't, and you have to throw from side to side. It's like mandatory that you're not actually allowed to throw down the middle. Like, I'd be like, oh, that's sweet. But he was genuinely like, nah, doesn't belong. Like, just get it. And then rolls up with an 8 on the first round.
So good.
Yeah, it's my not like there, Reesey boy.
Love it.
What about you?
Don't really have any left. I was going to honorable mention Kyle Bradalen, and I was going to not like Picanti Beans for his plus 5 at Xavier.
Yeah.
But just,
yeah, we didn't even get that far down the track.
Just the whole field and your performance at Xavier.
Oh man, we didn't do the Vic Open thing again.
Oh.
I didn't write it down.
Next week, guys.
Next week. Yeah, we did. We actually did a little bit of look into that.
We did the maths. Whoa. You'll have to tune in to find out what we have discovered.
Oh, nice. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Big pod. Sorry about that.
Peace out. Happy Mother's Day.